It's the Sip and Shine podcast, a retro-inspired cocktail podcast party of intriguing tales of histories, scandals, pop culture, and hot mess struggles. She will interrupt you. She will sound like she has the voice of a 12-year-old. And she will make it awkward, but in a good way. Here is your host, Carrie.
Hola, welcome to the show that features guests sharing true crime, scandals, paranormal, or historic tales along with their personal experiences and thoughts. What is our society without popular culture and entertainment? And of course, because I consider people watching as a hobby, we don't just gossip about celebrities and royals, we investigate and then share our observations with you. I am your host, Carrie, and welcome to our classy little cocktail party. So pour a glass and come sit by me. Please don't forget to follow me at Sipshine Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and check out sipandshinepodcast.com for additional classy little stories of scandal and intrigue. And now, cue the confetti.
But first, champagne.
Hi, Shishi.
Hey, Carrie.
How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I'm great. How's your podcast going?
You know what? It's going very well. I have a big thank you to you. I got a review today, and it was from one of your listeners. That was so sweet.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, I think her name was Cherry or Sherry, something cool. But I should have looked that up and so I could say hi. But friend, hi, thanks for listening and rating and reviewing. More to come.
You did send me a really cute screenshot of it and everything.
Yes, I was so touched. That's so sweet.
So I just want to remind everybody, I did it on my episode I posted today. If you send the rating to admin@sipandshinepodcast.com for Sip and Shine with your address, I want to send you some swag. And I swear it's not cheesy swag.
That is a great idea. We're going to have to chat about that. I want to do that.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, I bribe my kids. But in this case, for you to make the effort, most people do not make the effort to put the, including myself, to put reviews out there.
Yes,
unless I really, or they'll just take the time to do negative things. So I'm like, if you're taking the time to do something positive and put it out there, then I really want to say thank you.
You know what? I agree with you. I'm going to do that too. That's a fabulous idea. You're the sweetest.
Last time you came on the show, we talked about a missing case, that we each had a missing case.
Mm-hmm.
This time we did one, which you actually did the script, which I really thank you, and the research on.
Sure.
But tell me when you checked out that site. I don't know if you dug any more into it. IowaColdCases.org. Isn't it an amazing site?
It is, and I have not heard of it. I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you've not heard of the site.
No, I have not heard of the site before, which is kind of silly because I am a neighbor to Iowa. I live in Nebraska. So Iowa is literally like 30, 40 minutes from me. So yeah, I did check it out and it was pretty interesting. That's an awesome site to go on to, you know, look at missing cases and find their stories.
Yeah. And cold cases and stuff. And
yes,
I wish every state had a site like the effort that they put into.
Yes. Yes. It was very detailed and lots of good information in there.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even think that they had that many murders and missing people in Iowa. I know that sounds so ignorant,
No. But
I'm not going to lie. I was really surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. Even living in Nebraska, I wouldn't think so either.
So the case we're doing today is Maureen Brubaker Farley. Would you call it, say, Farley, right? Like Chris Farley?
Yeah. Yes, I did in my head.
Okay. So, it's funny because I kept thinking her name was Rebecca.
So, oh, really?
At least you got her name right. Yeah.
Yes, she's definitely Maureen.
Yeah. So, Maureen Ann Brubaker Farley was a 17-year-old young woman from Sioux City, Iowa, when she was found murdered on September 21st, 1971. If she was still alive, she would be 65 years old. And to this day, her murder was not solved. Now, she was married. Isn't it crazy how back then people got married so young?
Yes, and in this case, it was not okay with her parents. But yeah, I could not imagine. That's like my kid in 4 years announcing that she's about to marry some guy she just met. Weird.
Oh, it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. My son gets weirded out because I had him young.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mom, I cannot imagine having a kid in like a year.
Like this age.
No, you're still like raising your, I'm still raising you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, my mom was like 17. My grandmother was like 15 or 16.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and she was one of 17. You just had like a lot of kids and they worked the mm-hmm. ranch or they had like a ranch farm, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Up by Thousand Islands. But you had the kids and they just worked the farm.
Yep.
I was like, I just don't know how they just kept popping them out.
Oh, I know. That's how it was back then. They married young, had kids young, and just kept having kids.
And you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. My aunt had told me, and I believed her for years,
mm-hmm.
that they knew how you were pregnant or not if you peed on like a rabbit fur or something like that.
What?
Yeah, and I believed her.
So like what happened? What I guess gave them the inkling like that it was positive? Like they were pregnant.
I don't know if it's like a changed color or something, but I was thinking about this the other day when I was thinking of what are weird things people told you when you were growing up and you believed it.
Oh, that's a good episode. We should do that.
I was like, people should write you, what is your email for your blog? Because you also have a blog too.
Yes, I do. It's saywhatsheshe.com. And on there, you can submit a question or anything. You can submit anything. That would be a good one.
That's what I was thinking. What do people tell you that, or what do you perpetuate? Like my son, for the longest time, this is a terrible one. He never thought that girls ever got gas.
Oh, gosh.
So he got in a fight with, like, kids on the playground because he's like, no, they don't. Girls don't do that.
Oh,
and then I think somebody around him did it or something. And he's like, what was that? And they're like, it's a barking spider. So he never believed.
Oh, my God. The spider. I love it.
Yeah, he was, like, in denial for the longest. Like, girls don't do that.
Oh, I love it. We're just so cute and dainty. We don't do things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So Maureen was the oldest of seven siblings and often cared for them when their parents were out of the home. My mom was the oldest of seven.
Oh, my mom was the oldest of six.
Oh, that's great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of her siblings actually died in an accident in front of her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. And her father went nuts after it. Totally like went schizophrenic. When I say schizophrenic, I mean real schizophrenic.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he ran out in the driveway and he ran him over.
Oh, no.
That's why I'm so weirded out now when I back up in parking lots.
Oh, I bet. Oh, there was some sports guy. I'm not good with sports. But maybe a basketball player or something. That just happened pretty recently here. He was backing out in his big SUV and ran over his baby. I think the child was like 2 or 3. I could be wrong.
And about an hour ago, police did confirm the very tragic circumstances that led up to this. Let's get right to them here. The home is located in the Las Sendas gated community. And police tell us right around 3:45 this afternoon, they were alerted to a very serious accident in the driveway of the home. When officers and paramedics got there, they found a 3-year-old girl in really bad shape. She was rushed to a hospital and passed away a short time later. Police say the girl's father, former NFL star Todd Heap, was moving his truck forward when she was hit. Todd Heap was a huge NFL star, drafted in the first round by the Baltimore Ravens in 2001. He's a Pro Bowler and holds franchise records with Baltimore. He finished his career as an Arizona Cardinal in 2012.
But yeah, that was something that just happened recently.
Terrible.
Isn't that terrible?
I know parents that's happened to, that I know it's not intentional.
Right.
I just know it's not, they're not being like neglectful parents because it's so easy for it to happen.
Right. Happens so fast.
Yeah. And you know what? Another thing that came up recently, I know we're totally getting off track,
right,
but I just recently heard about this other thing that happened because you just mentioned sports team.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to do another episode on this one day. Did you know that there was a plane crash decades ago and like the entire ice skating team for like the Olympics was on it and they got died?
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
I'm like, why haven't we heard about this?
Yeah. Yeah, because I haven't heard of that. That's so crazy.
The sports world was stunned 40 years ago when they received word that the entire U.S. amateur figure skating team perished in a plane crash on their way to the World Championships in Prague. But from that tragedy, out of the ashes, an American spirit of determination was born that carried the next generation of stars.
73 die in the crash of a Belgian Sabena jetliner aboard the doomed craft on their way to Prague for international competitions, where the 18 members of America's figure skating team.
In the middle of the night, Nancy Ludington called me and told me about 3:30 in the morning that they were dead. They were all dead.
The crash was devastating for U.S. figure skating because not only the skaters that were lost, but the coaches like Eddie Sheldon, Maribel Vinson, Bill Kipp, who was the coach of Peggy Fleming at the time.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated with plane crashes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They scare me. I try not to think about it because I travel quite a bit.
Right, that was a detour and went very dark really quickly.
I like detours. I'm here for you. I love it.
Okay, so the younger children adored their big sister. At least it's not like my mom's sister who locked the kids, younger kids in the closet when her parents
were leave.
Yeah, it was pretty, from what I understand, it was pretty torturous.
Yeah.
Like therapy needed level of torture. Her family and friends described her as outgoing and friendly with everyone. And like a typical teenager, Maureen thought she knew what was best for herself. She met David Farley at 16 years old and decided to marry him. Her parents did not approve and voiced their concern. Against their wishes, she married David and threatened to leave her family if they acted against the union. Your back is up against the wall at that point.
It is. And you know your kid, and I'm sure that they took heed of that and just let it happen.
Exactly. So after getting married, her new husband, David, went to jail briefly at Anamosa's Correctional Facility. I hope I said that properly.
That would be my guess.
The reason for his incarceration is unclear, although her parents believe it was for robbery. So Maureen moved to Sioux City, Iowa. I think I've been to Des Moines. How do you say Des Moines?
Des Moines.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. Even though you want to say Des Moines.
I know.
I did go there. Yeah, so near where David was jailed to be closer to him, she began a job waitressing and rented a room to keep her head above water while he was jailed. He was still incarcerated at the time of her disappearance and ultimately her murder. Now that's scary because you always look at the husband.
Always. Mm-hmm.
I hope it wasn't like one of his friends or something.
I know. I had that thought too. I wonder.
So on September 17th, 1971, Maureen did not show up for her shift at Wida's restaurant. Is that how you say that? Or do you think Vita's?
I think Wida's.
Wida's. Okay. This was not normal behavior for her as she was a dependable employee and coworker. Her friends at the restaurant were concerned and went to the room she was renting in hopes of finding her there. You know what always freaks me out? There are times where maybe I was late or somebody didn't hear from me and they don't come check on me. But I feel like these people always kind of know something's weird and they always take it like to 100 mm-hmm. really quick.
Yeah, exactly. I've done a few of these now, and always when someone has not shown up, they go to their place of residence. But actually, you know, I worked in the healthcare field and there was a nurse who came who was supposed to be at work and she didn't show up. And my boss did go to, after calling and everything, she did go to her house and make sure she was okay. And she was okay. She just had taken some medication the night before and didn't wake up. Well, you know, like she wasn't mm-hmm. dead, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She didn't wake up. Yeah, so like that, my boss going over there woke her up. So it does happen, but I guess I don't really think, you know, let me go to their house because they're not answering.
I know. I'd be so weird though if somebody just showed up at my house like
right.
that.
I mean, because you don't know, like, are they not showing up because they don't want to work there anymore? Or did something really happen? You just don't know.
With no trace of Maureen, just after midnight, her friends called the police to report her missing, and the police went to check on her apartment, and they did not see anything out of place. Her car was still parked outside, and they reported there were no signs of any struggle.
Okay, on September 18th, 1971, the police went to Maureen's parents' house to see if she had been there or if they knew her whereabouts. Her mother, Mary Ann, explained that she had not seen or heard from her daughter. When news got to Maureen's siblings, two of them immediately began the four-hour trek to Cedar Rapids to help search for her. Her parents stayed home as Mary Ann had four other children to care for and Maureen's dad had to go to work. Okay.
I have to say my dad would go to work. My dad didn't even come to my retirement because he had to work.
I don't know. I think that's weird. Like if the police show up to my house and they tell me that my kid is missing, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, good luck with that. I got to go clock in really quick. Is that not weird?
Well, I think it's weird and unnatural, but my own dad would do that.
So it could be a normal thing.
I don't know if it's coping mechanism or what, or it's his workaholicness, but he's like, I got to go to work. I got to be at work.
She'll turn up. No big deal. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I struggled with that. That's why I had to make sure we read that.
That's why I gave you the commentary real quick.
Okay, on September 24th, 1 week after Maureen was reported missing, two boys were out hunting 3 miles away from her apartment in a wooded ravine area. They found Maureen's remains on the trunk of what appeared to be an abandoned car with overgrown foliage growing on it. The evidence showed there were signs of sexual intercourse, but unclear if it was sexual assault.
I was telling the Colonel, because we're watching Breaking Homicide over the weekend, and I like it only because it's adjacent to Cold Justice, which is my favorite. And I'm telling them, so many hunters find bodies. It's insane because they'll be in the most rugged area. They are the true heroes. And I know some people don't like hunting or guns or whatever, but no lie, it's the coincidence sometimes of these rural areas that they actually will step in between that tree to find that person. There's something weird about it. It
happens all the time. When looking at the state of decomposition of her body, police do not believe she died the day she disappeared. They believe she was injured and unconscious for a couple of days or so before she actually died.
Does that mean that she was just like hanging out there? Just like suffering?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. They determined she passed away from blunt force trauma to her skull on the right side of her head, causing a basal skull fracture. There was not a lot of evidence where her body was found, thus they believe that she was murdered somewhere else and abandoned in the woods where she was found. Maureen's case continues to be looked at. With the technology of today, investigators were able to create a DNA profile of her killer. They have not found the murderer yet and have excluded 20 people who knew her when she was alive. Many associates of hers were interrogated and given lie detector tests to no avail. The Cedar Rapids Police Department is still looking for Maureen's murderer. If you have any information, please contact them, and we'll put that in the show notes at 319-286-5442. Also, I found some pretty sad and interesting stuff on her Facebook page. Her family made her a Facebook page in memorial to her, and it's called Remembering Maureen Brubaker Farley. So you can take a look at that, and it's still a very active page. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, so okay.
I think it's amazing that detectives back then had the foresight to take certain evidence that they have that they've been able to now DNA test. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I would have been that smart if I was a detective to be like, this might
in the future. Right, right.
Yeah, or preserve it properly for them to be able to draw that.
Yes, and things that I've read on, you know, looking at this case is, this is still a very active case in Iowa. They are still to this day working on it at least several times a year, just trying to build those profiles, running those profiles through the system to try to find her killer. And I think that's amazing.
The other thing that's always creepy to me is in this case, and I'm not judging her husband. I have no idea why he was there. Hopefully it was like parking tickets, but I always think it's weird when you have a case like in this case where it's the husband was maybe had a shady past, but he was incarcerated at the time. So you're already in a situation where the person you're with might have been a danger, but they're not the thing that did anything to you. Some other random threat is the thing that got to you. I always see a coincidence with
that. Absolutely.
So there was a case today that was just posted. Today they announced this guy who they arrested. I think he's in his 70s. And he, from the Cold Justice show, from that attention from that show, they end up finding him and they got him for murder, but now they're looking at his first wife's murder and the murder of an 11-year-old girl.
Really?
Yeah, from like the 60s or 70s. I really would like to find it. I just read it and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And that's why I believe in that show. I would literally crowdfund that show because it is doing good work. It's not exploiting. It's doing good work, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, they bring money into small towns, especially in the Midwest and South, that wouldn't have the money to retest for DNA or to relook at some of these cases. They bring them money and resources in to relook at these cold cases. I listened to one today.
On March 17th, 2011, two women passing through an alley in Hialeah, Florida, came upon the body of Norman West. He had been shot twice in the head. 911. Norman West was a young man in his early 30s, just minding his own business, not a harmful person whatsoever. Norman had a big family. He was a son, a brother, and an uncle. He was a little down on his luck, but he was just starting to get back on his feet when he was killed.
The crime scene doesn't help us much.
No, it doesn't, because we don't really have a crime scene. We just simply have an alleyway where his body was basically just thrown out.
Like trash.
Yeah. Norman's killer left little forensic evidence behind at the dump site. But police might have caught their car on camera.
The other thing is that one of our suspects is an ex-Miami cop himself.
Now, that could be where some of our challenges come in.
Nobody deserves to be thrown away like that. Whoever did this must have made mistakes, and if we can find them, maybe we can get justice for Norman West.
Where it was so sad. This guy was a little bit down on his luck, and he had been homeless for a little bit, but then he went to live with his grandmother's sister and an ex-cop and the cop's niece, who was directly related to that with their grandmother and mother, took $100,000 and a $200,000 life insurance policy out on him. The ex-cop and the niece was like a prison guard, Leticia. I know her name starts with an L. Well, they got her on camera buying a track phone, and within an hour of that track phone calling him, he was found murdered.
Oh my gosh.
They have a lot of success with these cases. So what are you working on for your podcast?
I'm not really sure yet. I've got some things, some guests lined up that I need to start writing up for. I'm going to introduce a new segment to my pod, Speak Up or Shut Up. And that's just going to be kind of some scenarios, and just we'll talk about if we should say something or not. So I thought that would be pretty cool. Thinking about doing some reality TV recaps. You know, we love our reality TV. There's a lot of shows that I watch that there's no podcast that do them that I found. So I thought that might be fun to kind of talk about that a little bit. I think I'm going to put in more than one episode a week because there's so much I want to say. Pretty soon I'm going to have a really good friend of mine here. She's going to come on the podcast and talk. She's just this inspirational lady. She's actually our hairstylist, me and Song's hairstylist. And she's just a pillar in this community and just very girl power, strong woman type of lady. And she's going to be doing this soul speak here in Omaha, where she's just going to invite women and we're just going to talk. You know, she's written a book. She's pretty amazing. I'll have to send you that information so you can read it. I think you would like it. And so she's going to come on and talk with me about like her vision and what she's trying to do out here for women and with women. So I think that that'll be a good episode when that comes out.
That's really cool. Speaking of reality shows, did you know who Lyric McHenry was?
From where?
So she was friends with, oh my gosh, who was the guy that had HIV and he was in basketball?
Yes.
Magic Johnson. His son, I think he was on like the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills or a show adjacent. I think he ended up getting his own show. Well, one of his really good friends was Lyric McHenry. So she had been on his show. Well, come to find out, they were celebrating, I think, her birthday, and she was like 5 months pregnant, but a lot of people didn't know that. Well, they had found her dead on the street, right? And yeah, they first she was missing, and then they found her dead. But then they figured out that she died of a cocktail of drugs, but they were trying to figure out who moved her. It was almost like that case of the doctor, that mom, and they moved her body to Stairwell when she was hanging out with the producer. So they had found her dead or whatever. They knew that it was cocktail of drugs, but they were like, the person's still somewhat responsible because they tampered and concealed the human corpse. Well, the guy who was involved with that, it was suspected of it, just appeared in court, and he was all suspected of giving her that, maybe the fatal dose of heroin and cocaine. They're not sure about that part, but he got caught kissing a 15-year-old girl in New York Park. So he was brought up on charges of that, too. Yeah, that's why I was curious if you knew who she was and all that, and if you had heard about that.
Not at all. I haven't heard anything about that.
Girl, you got to get on UK Daily
Mail. I know. I hear you guys talk about it all the time. I am going to, because I bet there's a lot of good stuff I can chat about.
Bobby Brown got kicked off a JetBlue flight at LAX for being drunk.
Not surprising.
I'm surprised we haven't heard about him sooner.
I mean, yeah, probably not since, you know, Whitney and Bobby Christina passed. I mean, nobody's really checking for Bobby Brown anymore.
Do you think the husband was involved with her death?
Whitney and Bobby?
No, with Bobby Christina.
Do I think?
You know how he went after her to trying to hold her responsible, trying to hold him responsible, Nick or whatever.
Oh. No, I don't think so.
I think it would have happened regardless.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, she was so close to her mom, but look at what she grew up around.
Yeah, I mean, that poor kid was just, I mean, I hate to say it too, just kind of doomed from the beginning. You know, I know that her mother loved her and, you know, all that, but it was just a super dysfunctional situation. I think she truly died of a broken heart. Like, you know, just, you know, she couldn't, she couldn't take it being so close to your mother who was, who you kind of had to take care of. And you were the mother figure, kind of, and then for your mother to just die, it's just, like, what is her place? Where is she in the world? It is so sad. Oh.
All right, on that note, thank you for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
So bad. I know. We took a few dark turns there.
I know, that's okay. The next one will be a happy story, right?
Yes.
We'll find something happy to end it with.
Maureen Farley grew up fast, married at 17, and looked forward to starting a family in Cedar Rapids.
Those plans ended with her murder in 1971, and nearly 40 years later, her death remains an active investigation. Channel 13's Aaron Brillbeck brings us the cold case.
It's been 39 years since the body of 17-year-old Maureen Brubaker Farley of Cedar Rapids was found propped up on the back of a car. Her killer has never been caught. And her family has given up on ever finding justice, but they say they would like some answers.
Yeah, she was our first born child, and July 4th, everybody said she'll be a firecracker, she'll be born on July 4th, and she was. And she always was a firecracker.
Even after all these years, a flood of emotion and pain comes flowing back as Maureen Farley's family remembers the lively 17-year-old.
She was just one, I don't know, just special, and always wanted to grow up so fast. And
always happy.
Yes.
Always. I don't ever remember her arguing or getting mad.
Farley left her Sioux City home at an early age, getting married and moving to Cedar Rapids to be near her husband when she was murdered. It was a cool September day in 1971 when two teenagers spotted Farley's body lying on the trunk of a car that had been abandoned in the woods near Ely Road. She was fully clothed except for her shoes. One leg was propped up, and she was laying against the back window. Her family remembers getting the call from police.
She just said, "David, David, they found Maureen, and she's dead." David said, "No, no," he kept walking the floor.
I remember.
And saying, "No, no." That was so horrible.
They found my sister on the trunk of a car. Dad, that really hurt. It was hard. So I always looked up to my sister. I always wanted to be like her.
Police say Farley had been struck once in the back of the head. She likely survived for a while after she was hit. Because there was no blood on the car and no dirt on her feet, they believe she was killed somewhere else and placed on the car. The killer may have been remorseful, not placing the body on the dirt and putting it somewhere where it could be found.
Maybe that was kind of their way of saying they were sorry, was by putting her there, placing her somewhere where they figured out in the open that she would be found.
Time has passed, and life goes on for the family. They still laugh when they remember the good times.
We'd ask Maureen, were the kids good? And if they were, then we'd give them each a dime for being good.
But behind the laughter remains the thought, what if she hadn't been killed?
And I always kind of wonder what it would be like to have her here today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder what you
to, you know, because I think she'd probably be pretty much the same way, and I kind of wonder what kind of nieces and nephews. It's been a long time.
Too long, and the family deserves some answers and some closure.
You know, are they sorry? You know, is there remorse? You know, I just can't help but think that. What'd you say? Your one question was why, and
yeah, why? Why would you kill Maureen? And you know, why?
As a result of our story, Maureen's family is now offering a $5,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest and conviction of her killer. But again, the family stresses what's more important to them is finding out what happened.
Too early to go to Tiffany's. I guess the next best thing is a drink.
I will never be the woman with the perfect hair who can wear white and not spill on it.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Name your favorite dinosaur. Don't even think about it. Just name it. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hey, crickets. Don't be sad. Show is almost over, but don't despair. There's so much more Sip and Shine podcast. On sipandshinepodcast.com, we feature historical articles of more histories, mysteries, scandals, and personal essays of hot mess struggles. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SipShinePod. And hold up, there's more. We have Pinterest and Flipboard where we collect featured stories from across the internet featuring royalty, chronicles of interesting events in history, and of course, true crime. Think of it as your own little magazine a la Scandal Sheets meets National Geographic but scholarly light. Definitely more emphasis on the lightness. What's a swanky affair of slightly questionable morals without music? It's definitely the soundtrack of life. We have a Napster song list with inspirations from Southern Charm to Glenn Miller. You know that missing hottie from World War II. Lastly, check out our YouTube channel that features playlists of documentaries and other related segments from our podcast topics. Who doesn't love a little documentary? It's definitely not gluttonous, promise. Think of it as education. So Sip and Shine is a lifestyle movement like a classy little cocktail party, Mad Men style. From drinks to music to interesting combos, so RSVP to the party by finding us on social media and subscribing to this podcast. Hey, I know it's closing time already, but I have to give you a little bit of a disclaimer. The podcaster or authors assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. The information contained on this podcast is an as-is basis with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, or timeliness. A reasonable amount of effort was made to deliver precise data to you. All views expressed by the podcast host or guest co-host are their own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which Carrie, Sip and Shine Podcast, or Bold Lip Media have been, am now, or will be affiliated. The content of this podcast is for personal, informational, and entertainment purposes only and is not to be viewed for commercial use. Sip and Shine Podcast respects the intellectual property of others. Any audio clips that were not generated by the podcast host or producer was pulled from public domain, free use sites, and or from YouTube or other authorized sites to gather information. The utmost effort was made to credit the author and or production. If at any time you feel that copyright was infringed, please email admin@sipandshinepodcast.com and immediate action will be taken to remove the audio clips that are present for entertainment purposes only.
Hi there, it is Cassidy from Cassidy Horn Creative. I edited this episode and wanted to let you know that if you want to start a podcast, I can help. Just reach out to me at CassidyHornCreative.com. That's CassidyHornCreative.com.